bugs worked out, but Judges chapter Michigan's Upper Peninsula, up way up in Copper Harbor, and it was a small mining town, really a rough and tough area. These miners were ungodly men, and this guy's father, he is one of those miners, and so he grew up in a really a rough, tough household. Even the sheriff didn't want to go to graduate location, and he wanted to stay as far away from there as he could get. This guy's father, heavy drinker, crass language at best, and fighting was a way of life, and really the house, this household, was really a small reflection on that community. And so no biblical training, no Sunday school class, no church services, no glimmer of hope for this boy. To top it off, he had a really major stuttering problem, and so he was picked on a lot, and because of that, he fought even all the more. And this guy, and the factors that surrounded his life were cop cars, fights, drunkenness, cursing, poverty, and it was just a mess. So the economical, the social, the parental environment seemed to have destined this guy for a life of crime and poverty and pain. And so our scripture today is really somewhat like that individual. So we're going to go to Genesis chapter 11, and we're going to look at this judge named Jephthah, and I want to just point a few things out. So let's pray, and then we'll dig into this. Father, thank you again for your word. I pray that we can glean these truths from your word, that we would see how you transformed a life and used someone who really, it would seem, would be unusable. And may we be encouraged today by your word. Lord, I thank you that you do use us, that you do transform lives by your grace. And so help us to learn from your word and apply your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we look at this man here, Jephthah was a boy that was rejected. So Judges chapter 11, follow along as I read verses 1 through 3. Now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor, but he was the son of a harlot. And Gilead begot Jephthah. Gilead's wife bore sons, and when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, "You shall have no inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman." Then Jephthah fled from his brothers and dwelt in the land of Tob, and worthless men banded together with Jephthah and went out raiding with him. So look at this guy's life. I mean, he's an illegitimate son, really. And so you look at him and you read verses 1 through 3. Have you ever used this phrase, the odds are against him? You ever use that phrase? You look at somebody, you look at the home or the environment they're in, and you say, the odds are against this guy. And you look at Jephthah, and you might look at that. I mean, you look at his family situation. You look at the societal factor and say, this guy has no chance of being anything in life. He's an illegitimate son. He was the son of a prostitute. Again, he was the son of a harlot. Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, but he's the son of a harlot. He's the son of a prostitute. Now, whether she's Jewish or Canaanite, whether she's a temple prostitute or a common prostitute, we don't know. But this is the situation he's born into, and really he's a guy that we just looked at, Abimelech. Remember, Abimelech had a mother from a foreign woman. But this guy's mother is a prostitute. Can you imagine being born into this situation? But God fashioned him in the womb of a prostitute. And you look at that and think, this guy's, there's no hope. And look at the factors here. He's an illegitimate son. Not only that, but his brothers have driven him away. He's driven away by his family. So his brothers drive him out and said to him, "You shall have no inheritance in your father's house, for you are the son of another woman." His brothers drive him away, and the text says he grows older. They drive him out. Part of their motive is greed. And they don't want him to have any part of the inheritance. But also with that, this guy's an embarrassment. I mean, His mother's a prostitute. And he's going to have no part in this inheritance. And it didn't matter to them that driving out their half-brother would really violate the law. Deuteronomy chapter 10, 12 to 22. Also, it violates the command to love your neighbor as yourself that in Leviticus. And so, if they follow the law that God had given them, they shouldn't be driving them out. They shouldn't be taking the inheritance. Also, in Levitical law, law went through the father, not the mother, so he has a right to this inheritance. But they don't like this guy. His mother's a prostitute. He's not part of the family, so his own family rejects him. And so you look at this family factor here. His dad's a bad example. His mother's a prostitute. His brothers hate him. Are the odds against him? I mean, what can this guy amount to? And what good is he? And so he's rejected as a boy. I don't know what's going on here. Is that me? Nope, it was me, Clarence. It wasn't you. He's also a man that was despised. And you read verses 4 through 7 here. So verse 3, Jephthah fled from his brothers, dwelt in the land of Tob, and worthless men banded together with Jephthah and went out raiding with him. And it came to pass after a time that the people of Ammon made war against Israel. And so it was when the people of Ammon made war against Israel that the elders of Gilead went to Jephthah from the land of Tob. Then they said to Jephthah, come and be our commander that we may fight against the people of Ammon. So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, did you not hate me and expel me from my father's house? Why have you come to me now when you're in distress? And so he's rejected by his family. We see here that he's really, what is going on? Like I said, be patient because we'll get it figured out. It's coming back. So he's forced from his hometown. And we know that from verse 7 again. Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, did you not hate me and expel me from my father's house? So not only did his family drive him out, and the people in town didn't want him around. They expelled him. They got rid of him. And he's despised and rejected by family and the community. He's forced from his hometown. And here he is, he's living in the land of Tob. We see this in verse 7. And so it's not just a family act to expel him. It's a tribal act. They don't want anything to do with him. He's not welcome there. He ends up in Tob. Now, if you do a little bit of research on Tob, you go back to 2 Samuel, and you find that Tob was a rough, tough area. It produced a lot of tough men, rough men. In 2 Samuel, it is 2 Samuel 10, these guys from Tob are hired basically to be mercenaries, and they're fighters. Tob produces fighters. It kind of reminds me of the Taconite marble area. You would know about that. And they're rough guys over there, and they just like to fight. They all have none of them, you don't even know what their real name is. They all have nicknames. I can't even think of it. Well, half of my family, my in-law part, is they all have nicknames. I don't know their names. They're from that area, and they like to fight. That's kind of like Tob, and they're just bruisers. They want to fight, and that's where he goes. And, you know, if you look at this, I think the NIV translates this, where it says worthless men in the New King James, the NIV translates it adventurous men. They're not adventurous. And that's not a very good translation. These guys are worthless men. They're guys that you don't want to hang around with. You don't want anybody around these people. And so he's a man that's despised. He's forced from his hometown. He hangs around with worthless men. That's what the text tells us. They're absolutely worthless. They're brawlers. They're crude. They're crass. And so they're expelled, and they go and they basically rob people. They beat people up, they take the stuff from them, and that's where he's at. So you look at Jephthah. Really, he's without a physical or social home. He's really without a future. The odds are against him. Again, you look at this guy, and you remember the phrase that was stated about Jesus, what good can come from Nazareth? And that's kind of the idea here with Tob. This is the idea here with Jephthah. I mean, what good can come from this guy? And his mother's a prostitute. And you look at the family situation. He's off in Tob. He's with worthless men. But I just want to point out today, if this will advance, and it's not advancing, we will get this figured out. There it goes. That Jephthah was a man that God would use. You know, we're singing these songs about God's grace. And it's by grace that God would use this man. So he's a Gileadite, mighty man of valor. He's driven out. His mother's a harlot, the family situation. And then these Jephthah, that is why we've turned again to you now, that you may go with us and fight against the people of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. They're coming to him for help after they drove him out. Of Gilead, if you take me back home to fight against the people of Ammon and the Lord delivers them to me, shall I be your head? If we do not do according to your words. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head of the commander over them, and Jephthah spoke all his words. He gives credit to God. If the Lord delivers them, so God's going to use him. They come back and ask him to deliver him, and he agrees to the conditions. And I just want to point out here the fact that Clarence, you got to click on that side and leave it there if you would. If you click back on that, and then don't mess with the other side, then I can keep advancing here. God's not limited by social factors. How many of us, and you look at our family situations, you know, or the social situation, the economic situation, God is not limited by those factors. We just sang Amazing Grace. Who wrote that? Any idea who wrote Amazing Grace? John Newton. Do you know about John Newton? John Newton was born in London July 24, 1725. He had a godly mother. But his mother died in 1732, so if you do the math, what is he's 7 years old, 8 years old, and his mom died. The only godly influence really in his life, his mother dies, and with her really died all biblical training. He's 7, 8 years old at this time. And after 2 short years in a boarding school, John, now age 10, he starts sailing on a merchant ship with his ungodly father. You look at his society, his family situation, and you'd say there is absolutely no hope for John Newton. He ends up on this merchant ship. Eventually, he is the master. He's the head of this slave ship, and he's buying and selling slaves. And he spent years, one biography says, in unrestrained blasphemy, wild and careless living. In his own words, he said this. He said, "I excelled in every sin and overindulgence that I had the opportunity to fall into." In his own words, he said, "I had eyes full of adultery, and my language was filled with blasphemies, obscenities, and with swearing of the worst kind." Can God use such a man? And his only godly influence that he has, his mother dies, he's on a slave ship, he's buying and selling slaves. This guy he's like Jephthah. He's running with worthless men. He's a worthless man himself. But finally, 1748, God brings him to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He puts his faith, John Newton, knows he's a sinner, that he can't save himself, and he puts his trust in Jesus Christ alone for his salvation. God is not limited by social factors, economic factors, family factors. I mean, think of this. Years later, centuries later, we're singing Amazing Grace that John Newton wrote, and think of what he came out of. Is God limited by those factors? God is not limited by social factors, by parental factors. You know, have you ever heard somebody say, "Oh, he's just a product of his environment"? Have you ever heard that? Or have you ever said that? You look at a kid and say, "Yeah, well, he's a product of his environment." He's never going to amount to anything. Look, God is not limited by those factors. And when we say that, they're a product of their environment, we usually use it in a negative way, right? That's how we use it. But it doesn't have to be that way. Jephthah didn't have to be a worthless person with absolutely no value. John Newton didn't have to continue to live the way he had lived. And you know, if you go back and you look at Jephthah, it starts out, Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor. Where did he learn to fight? In Tob. Did God end up using that environment that he was in for his glory? They came to him to deliver them out from the oppressors. And so God used the environment that he was in for his glory. He learned some things because of the environment he was in. He learned warfare. He learned leadership. And somehow he learns about Israel's history, because if you follow this through, in fact, we pick this up now in verse 20. Messengers of Jephthah, because Israel took away my land when they came out of Egypt from the Arnon as far as Jabbok and the Jordan. Now therefore restore those lands peaceably. So Jephthah again sent messengers to the king of the people of Ammon and said to him, thus says Jephthah, Israel did not take away the land of Moab nor the land of the people of Ammon. For when Israel came up from Egypt, they walked through the wilderness as far as the Red Sea and came to Kadesh. Then Israel sent messengers to the king of Edom saying, please let me pass through your land. But the king of Edom would not heed. And in like manner they sent to the king of Moab, but he would not consent. So Israel remained in Kadesh. And then they went along through the wilderness and bypassed the land of Edom and the land of Moab, came to the east side of the land of Moab and encamped on the other side of Arnon. And they did not enter the border of Moab, for the Arnon was the border of Moab. Then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, king of Heshbon. And Israel said to him, please let us pass through your land into our place. But Sihon did not trust Israel to pass through his territory. So Sihon gathered all his people together, encamped in Jahaz, and fought against Israel. And the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel, and they defeated them. Thus Israel gained possession of all the land of the Amorites who inhabited that country. They took possession of all the territory of the Amorites, from the Arnon to the Jabbok, and from the wilderness to the Jordan. And now the Lord God of Israel has dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel. Should you then possess it? Will you not possess whatever Chemosh your gods give to you to possess? So whatever the Lord our God takes possession of before us, we will possess. Somehow this guy knows history of Israel. Why didn't the people in Israel, in Gilead, why didn't they know this stuff? Somehow he knew the history of Israel. Somehow he knew God's word. What's interesting about Jephthah, of all the judges, he's the one who uses the proper name for the Lord. He uses it more times than any other judge. Here's a guy who has everything against him. We'd look at him and say, the odds are against him. There's no way he'll amount to anything. And yet he knows more about the Lord than the people that remained in Gilead. You look at him, and he's a man that God used. He's rejected by his family, he's rejected by the tribe, he's driven out, he runs with worthless men, but who does God use? He uses Jephthah. God isn't limited by parental factors. And I can't click again. God's not limited by environmental factors. When you look at this, and how many of us grew up, and you don't have to raise your hand, but there's people here, I'm sure, that grew up in an environment, and you could look at any one of these factors, whether it's social or economical, whatever it is, and we could say that person, and you look at that environment, they will not amount to anything. But we have to remember the faith factor. We have to remember, you know, because how many times Or has anybody here ever said, and again, you don't have to raise your hand, but have you ever said, I can't be used by God? It's impossible for me to be used by God because of my past. I remember when I first got saved, it's probably maybe a year or two after that, and Pastor Bob Elwell tried to encourage me to teach a Sunday school class. And I said, I can't do that. And he said, why not? I said, I can't be used by God because of my past. And he said, God saved you by His grace. God can use you. But how many times do people say that? I can't be used because of this. And so we cripple ourselves with our past, or we allow other people to cripple us by saying, you'll never amount to anything. But when a sinner comes to Christ, what are we? We're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. God can take a messed up past, and He can forgive, He can cleanse, and He can use us to further His kingdom, can't He? I'll give you an example. Church we were at up in the UP, the first Sunday I walked in, the first guy I met, his name was John Matala, a good Finn. And John Matala, I met John, and then I heard John's testimony. John was in the back of a cop car at least four times before he was 10 years old. That's the environment he grew up in. He came from a rough home, handcuffed at least four times before the age of 10. Age of 10, he's accidentally shot in the back of the head with a .22 by his buddy. Got shot in the back of the head, spent months in the hospital. And he's on morphine. And he got addicted to morphine in the hospital. And he came out of there, and eventually he's addicted to cocaine. And he ends up married. His marriage is falling apart. Financially, he's in deep. Everything went to support his habit. But finally, John got saved. He put his faith in Jesus Christ. And John quit his job and he went back to school. The cocaine addiction was dealt with. It was gone. Guess what John did for a living from that point forward? John was an alcohol and drug addiction counselor. Can you believe that? God transformed a life. You could look at him and then the environment he grew up in and say, he'll never amount to anything. But God, right? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, but God. God was not limited by John's social, environmental, or parental factors. John Newton was not limited by his social, environmental, or parental factors. Jephthah was not limited. Jephthah was a man that we'd maybe give up on and say there's no hope. And sure, we all have these environments that we grew up in. But you can't discount the faith factor. You can't discount God's grace. God used Jephthah, and as I mentioned before, an interesting fact is he used the proper name for God more than any other judge that you'll find in this book. And then you see the diplomacy that he uses. He goes up and he tries to talk to them and he gives them the history of why this land belongs to Israel. Of course, it was rejected, but he gives three reasons. Number one, Gilead never belonged to the Ammonites because Israel took it from the Amorites. Number two, Israel has the right to possess the land that God has given them, just like Ammon should possess the land that their God gave them, which is a false god, so no luck there. No one had contested Israel's right to the land over 300 years. But the king rejects it, and we'll get to that, Lord willing, in the future. But I want to take a look at the so what here. I can't click. There we go. God raises to the highest office those of lowest rank. Secondly, grace transforms lives. How many have been transformed by God's grace? A couple? How many have been transformed by God's grace? Praise the Lord that His grace transforms lives. Where would we be apart from God's grace? His grace transforms lives. We can sit here and say the odds are against him. He'll never amount to anything. She'll never be any good. But when we say that, we discount what God can do with a life. You know, I've looked at people and thought to myself, man, if God gets a hold of their heart, they will turn the world upside down for Christ. That's the difference. Jephthah could have become bitter, but instead he became better. You know, at times we limit ourselves or we allow others to limit us due to different factors. But God transforms lives. Grace transforms lives. And we have no business showing partiality. Sin complicates things, but it doesn't have to define you. The sin of Jephthah's father, the sin of his brothers, the sin of his mother, the sin of the people, the tribe, made it difficult for Jephthah. It brought difficulties in his life, but it didn't have to define who he was. It didn't have to define what he did in life. You know, the man that grew up in Gradiate location that I mentioned at first, his name was Leslie Olala. Some of you have probably met him or you know who he is. But through an area pastor up in Gradiate location, him and his wife would pick young Leslie up in the back of their station wagon, throw kids in the back, take them to church, and Les Olala put his faith in Jesus Christ. You look at the environment he grew up in, and he spent a lot of time in the woods logging, running a chainsaw, topping trees. He used that to pay his way through Bible college. He eventually became the president of Northland Baptist Bible College. The guy who stuttered and couldn't speak speaks all over the world. Part of the reason I'm here today is because of the impact of Les Olala. If you go back and look at that missionary board back there, Yusef and Ruth Ebnauer, they've been in the mission field in China. They're going back. They were impacted by Les Olala. The DeMarts, Philip and Helene DeMart, Helene's parents were impacted by Les Olala. Some of you know Lee Peterson, Lee and Janelle, impacted by Les Olala, ended up missionaries in Africa, started a Bible college over there, and today over 200 Africans are being taught God's Word and being prepared for ministry, impacted by the life of Les Olala. Hundreds of people impacted by this man who people would have looked at and said, there is absolutely no hope for this guy. He'll be worthless. He can't be used by God. You know, I don't know the different factors that have played into your life. And even if you grow up in a good home, that's the flip side of this. Just because you grow up and everything's, you grow up in the best of homes doesn't mean you're not going to mess up. It's by God's grace. Maybe you're sitting here today saying, there's no way God can use me, but I'm telling you, God can use you and He wants to use you. We need to be willing to be used. So what's God calling you to do? Grace transforms lives. Maybe you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today, and if I said to you, where will you spend eternity? You say, I have no clue. I don't know. God's Word says that you can know that you have eternal life. You can have forgiveness of sin, and that's through the person of Jesus Christ. God sent His Son to die for you, to pay the penalty for your sin. He took the hit for you. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation's a gift. Forgiveness is a gift, but you have to receive it. John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Put your faith in Christ, your sins are forgiven, you have a right relationship with God, and grace transforms lives. If you've never done that, you need to put your faith in Christ. But maybe you're here today, you've put your faith in Christ, but you're crippled by your past. God can use you. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't be used by God. Jephthah was used by God. Look at his past. You can be used by God. The question is, are you willing to be used by God? Grace transforms lives. Let's pray, and then I want to talk a little bit about to be free before we have our final song here. Father, thank you for your word. If there's anyone here who doesn't know where they'll spend eternity, I just pray that they would settle that today. Right where a person sits, they can simply come to you and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. My sin separates me from you. But today I put my trust and my faith in Jesus Christ alone for my salvation. We know your word is clear. We can't work our way to heaven. We can't earn our way to heaven. We can never be good enough. But in your grace, you provided a way. Lord, for anyone here who is crippled or has allowed others to cripple them by their past, may we see today that grace transforms lives, that we can be used by you, and that I pray that we'd be willing to. So I thank you for this account of Jephthah and what we can learn from him. Again, I just pray, Lord, that we would respond to the teaching of your word, that we would allow it to change us, to mold us. May you be exalted in our response. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.